time for the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today podcast. The latest in prep sports from around the state. High School Sports Today with Coach Rick Cleveland.
Whistles blowing, crowd on his feet. Sweat in the air, it's time to compete. But all that noise, it drifts away when it's just you and me in this four-quarter frame. Friday night lights, they'll shine again. But it's that handshake man that says where we've been.
What's going on out there, Alabama? Yeah, we're talking high school sports today. I guess everybody got a bait of college basketball because, boy, Alabama kind of showed out. The state of Alabama really showed out in college basketball this year. Congratulations to the Florida Gators and all those supporters out there. And, you know, one thing about that, we talked a little college for a minute here. I'm an SEC guy. All my buddies are SEC guys. But there was just something in my heart last night pulling for Kelvin Sampson. You know, this is a guy, 69 years old, sitting over there with his son, his assistant coach, just like Bruce Pearl with Stephen. And the oldest coach to ever win a national college championship, he would have become that. And Florida's coach would have, I think, would have tied Jim Valvano as being the youngest coach to ever win a national championship. So, but that being said, you know, I know that Kelvin Sampson got himself in some hot water at Indiana. I think he was making some phone calls, doing whatever he was doing in the NCAA, put him on a 5-year show cause, and he's a good enough coach that the NBA said, come on, we got a job for you. But I've just always liked Kelvin Sampson, and that's me. And just because I like him doesn't mean anybody else likes him. But I really do like him. I think he does it the way you're supposed to do it, even though he got caught up in doing some things that I would imagine that there's probably at least 50% of the other college coaches that did the same thing in those days, and today it's now legal. So let it be what it is. But there was a little bit of me a tug at my heart for Kelvin Sampson to win the national championship, especially after Auburn got beat. And, that's kind of where I was. So, but it's unfortunate they didn't get a shot on the last three possessions. And that's really, as a coach, that's unacceptable. You got to get a shot off. You just got to get a shot off somehow. And it just didn't work out. And congratulations to all the Gator Nation. They're national champions. And I heard a guy ask this afternoon, he said, if the Florida football team was guaranteed that they'd go 10-2 and get into the national championship playoffs next year, would they trade that for the basketball national championship? Heck no. No. Heck no. Heck no. And listen, while we're talking, let me tell you this. If you got a comment, you can text me at 251-367-2447. If you've got a comment on anything we do tonight, you catch me at 251-367-2447, and I promise you I'll answer it as quick as you can get it to me. A lot of things going on in Alabama, particularly high school basketball. Robbie Coker. Now, we all know Robbie Coker. Robbie Coker was the ultra-successful high school head basketball coach at Plainview High School. Last year, he won 4 state championships. Robbie Coker had some coaching background in college. He spent some time at Jacksonville State. He spent some time with a guy by the name of a great, great family, Bill Armstrong, whose daddy, Jimmy Armstrong, was a tremendous high school basketball player at E.B. Irwin High School in Birmingham, went on and played at Jeff State, and then went and played at North Alabama. Later got a free agent tryout with Atlanta Hawks. And Jimmy Armstrong was a heck of a basketball player. Also, you know, he kind of got a cup of coffee with, I think, with Seattle, offering him to come out and try out for their team as well. But Jimmy's son, Bill Armstrong, is a longtime assistant coach. Worked about 14 years, I think, with Andy Kennedy. And Robbie Coker was right there with him. And Bill Armstrong just got the head basketball job at McNeese State. So who does he call? The first person he calls is Robbie Coker. Now, Robbie left Plainview last year and went to Fort Payne. Yep, that's the Fort Payne, the home of Alabama country music hierarchy. Great people. Made Alabama, you know, one of the country music strongholds. You know, I mean, not nearly as big as Nashville, but, you know, a lot of people come to Muscle Shoals to record their country music. And, of course, Alabama played a major part in that with those guys and different bands coming into Muscle Shoals. But Robbie Coker spent 1 year at Fort Payne, and Bill Griffin, first call he made when he got the McNeese job was to Bill Armstrong. Bill Armstrong had been a number one assistant for Will Wade at LSU, and then, of course, they got in a little bit of trouble for whatever, but Bill Wade, I don't think, had any show calls because he got a job real quick. And led McNeese to probably the greatest season in their history. And who was right there with him? Bill Armstrong. And so Bill gets the head basketball job at McNeese, and he hires Robbie Coker, I think, to be his offensive coordinator. And, you know, that's what's going on in college basketball today. We're seeing that in a lot of different college sports. We're seeing these offensive and defensive coordinators, and we're even seeing general managers. We just lost one of the best heads of Senior Bowl when we lost Jim. Here goes my age thing here. Anyway, the director of the Senior Bowl here in Mobile took the job as a general manager of the Oklahoma Sooner football program. Jim Nagy, I'm sorry. And so it's kind of going that way in college, offensive and defensive coordinators and general managers. So we lose a great high school coach in Robbie Coker, and I mean a great one. What he did at Plainview was sensational, and mighty, mighty happy and proud for Robbie and his family to go to McNeese. McNeese is not it's not a great job. It's not a bad job. It's just a college job, and he'll do a great job there. In the meantime, let's look at high school football. And when you look at high school football, you look at coaches moving around. You know, last year when Chris Bell left Scottsboro, that kind of – I put a kind of star by his name because I knew we were looking for some coaches in Baldwin County. And the Baldwin County job was open – the Robertsdale job was open. Robertsdale hadn't won in I think they'd lost 29 straight games. Chris Bell's always a guy that loves challenges, and he accepted the challenge to come to Robertsdale and won the first two games of the season. And that broke that 29-game losing streak. Well, you know, all of us that kind of follow high school sports and are involved with it, we knew that there would be some big guys come around knocking on Chris Bell's door. And sure enough, and his coaching ladder for himself went through this area that Tuscaloosa County is in, because he coached at Oak Mountain and was ultra successful there. And so he had some connections to that 7A Region 3. Or whatever region that is in Birmingham. I get those messed up all the time. And Tuscaloosa County called and offered him a job, and I just think it's a better job than Robertsdale, to be honest with you. I don't want to pull any punches. I love the people in Robertsdale. Some of my best times and moments were coaching with Chuck Anderson, David Stapleton, and those guys, and Chris Shaw at Robertsdale. Great people. wonderful administration. So those were great times for us. And but they followed on some hard times. I think Jake Ozio is one of the only coaches that's won there in the last, 20 years, and won more than he lost anyway. So we've lost Chris Bell, but our loss here in Baldwin County is Tuscaloosa County's gain. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, as we – these 46 years have been great, great for our family. Chris Bell is one of the finest men that I've ever known. I mean, just as fine a Christ-centered man as there is. And I'm excited for Chris and his family. And I hope that he's able to kind of turn Tuscaloosa County around. They've had three coaches, I think, in the last four seasons. And but I'm going to tell you right now, you better be able to stop the dive, because he's going to run the dive until you stop it, and then he's going to pull it, and that quarterback's going to run it, and then the quarterback's probably going to pitch it if you take the quarterback away. So triple option, yeah, it's a lot of that. And he knows how to teach it, and he coaches it, and the kids love it. So congratulations to Chris Bell. We're mighty excited for him as well. Let's talk about a high school player from here in Mobile. And I can't talk about Trey Bonham if I don't talk about Michael Knapp. You know, we live in a world today where high school coaches, a lot of high school coaches, aren't into developing players. They're into getting transfer players in that are already have already been developed by other coaches. Well, Michael Knapp did a super job with a young military child that moved in here when his dad got either retired or sent to the Mobile area, or maybe even Northwest Florida. And Trey Bonham came in, and when Michael Knapp and his staff developed Trey Bonham and became the leading scorer, I think, during his time at UMS Wright. Then he signed with VMI, Virginia Military Institute, and Doug Earl was his coach there, and a heck of a basketball coach. Doug eventually took the job at Chattanooga and coached the Moccasins. And in the meantime, Trey got into transfer portal, went to Florida, stayed there for a year with Coach Golden. It just didn't work out. He's a little 5'11 guy, and, matchups were tough for him. It didn't work out for him. And then when Coach Earl left VMI and took the Chattanooga Mocs job, he had signed this, brought Huff with him, the other guard from VMI. And Huff got on the phone and called Trey Bonham and said, look, you got to come here with us. So Trey ends up at Chattanooga. Chattanooga has a tremendous season this year. They go to the NIT, which now they're playing in Indianapolis. I didn't know that. I thought they were playing the NIT and still playing it in New York City at Madison Square Garden. But no, they've moved the NIT to Indianapolis, and they're playing it, I think, where Hoosiers was filmed, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, Chattanooga gets to the finals. And Trey Bonham, I think he averages about 23, 24 points a game, getting 7 or 8 rebounds a game and 5 or 6 assists. Chattanooga ends up winning the NIT tournament over California Irvine, and Trey Bonham is the most outstanding player in the tournament. Now, I'm not big on most outstanding players, but every tournament picks one. And Trey Bonham, UMS Wright, Coach Michael Knapp, who developed him, and I can promise you he developed him, watched it with my own eyes, saw how he progressed year after year after year, and worked his fanny off to be the best he could possibly be, ends up being the most outstanding player. Now, my question is there a place for a 5'11 guard in the foreign leagues, maybe in Spain or somewhere else, where Trey Bonham can play? Maybe some of you know more about that than I do. I'm not familiar with any of the – and I'm not a big NBA follower anyway, but I think Trey Bonham's got a future in basketball, maybe in Italy or somewhere. overseas because he's a prolific scorer. He doesn't mind getting in there and rebounding with the bigs. You don't see him snowbirding down the court. He handles the ball, brings it down on the press, and distributes it as well as anybody that I've seen this year. And so congratulations to Trey Bonham, his mom and dad, outstanding people. And I know we're UMS Wright proud. We're going to talk to Wes Lathan here in just a minute, who just stepped down as a principal. Well, not stepped down. He moved from principal to athletic director. Longtime goal of his. We're going to ask him about that. And we'll see what Wes has to say about Trey. He was there the whole time with Trey as well. So congratulations to Trey Bonham, UMS Wright. Mighty proud of him. And congratulations to Chattanooga. The Mocs are the NIT champs. And who was there? Yep, T.O. was there. Benjamin Russell. I can tell you, when you see Mr. Owens there, you know it's a big deal. And so he's a proud Chattanooga graduate, and I'm sure he contributes to their NIL fund for sure. Speaking of great players, high school players, another guy we're going to ask about, and we'll ask Wes about him because Wes was there when this young man was at Foley. Julio Jones is retiring. Now, Julio spent many years with the Atlanta Falcons and just a tremendous, tremendous high school player, and I think he was one of the guys that kind of started that great football program that Coach Saban built at Alabama. I think if you ask Coach Saban or any of those coaches, Julio Jones was in the front door of being a major part of that that football program. And so really Julio Jones might have been as good a high school football player as I've seen in a long, long time. And that goes all the way back to Jeff Rutledge and Tony Nathan and all of those guys, but Julio Jones was something special. And, he played for some really outstanding coaches. Todd Watson was his high school coach. Wes Lathan was one of the coaches while they were there. But, just an outstanding program. And Foley really won big while they had Julio Jones. They had a defensive back, too, that signed with Alabama that was tremendous. I can't remember his name right now. Some of you people make in. I get a lot of questions. I got some questions last week after our Saturday morning show about coaching moves around the state in high school football. So I want to go through a couple of those that I think are pretty interesting. Baker here in Mobile, Juan Johnson left and went to North Alabama to coach up in the Huntsville area. Eric Scott, a longtime assistant coach at Vigor and then at Baker. Eric Scott's the new head football coach there at Baker. Benjamin Russell, they hired one of Mike Turk's guys from Huntington. They hired Kirk Johnson, who did an outstanding job at Catholic of Montgomery. Smitty Grider, who left Benjamin Russell, has taken a job over in Georgia, I believe, at a private school. And wish nothing but the best for Smitty. But Kirk Johnson will certainly do a great job there at Benjamin Russell. I know some of those guys that do radio with us on AHSAA Radio Network. Those guys are really excited about Kirk coming to Benjamin Russell. I'm really surprised that Bobby Carr, of course, has left Carver-Montgomery. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Bobby left. What surprised me is only there a year, but when a job like Prattville comes open, and Bobby's got a lot of connections in Prattville, doesn't surprise me that they went after Bobby and got him. And they hired Mario White to take that job at Catholic Montgomery. Now, let me talk about that situation with Prattville. Prattville's really redone their facilities. They're trying to be second to none. They've redone their entire Stanley Jensen Stadium. But, one of the things that I'm a firm believer in, I don't know how you believe about this. Maybe you believe that when there's a job open that the superintendent ought to take applications and they ought to interview everybody that wants to interview. And, you pick somebody out of your interviews and you narrow them down to three. and then you pick one of them. Well, see, I don't believe in that. I really don't. I think when you're a when you're one of those programs that is expected to be in competition for a state championship, I'm not talking about every school. I'm talking about those programs from 1A through 7A that, you know, we're going to be in the hunt for a state championship. I think you got to go get your coach. I think you got to go get them. And by go get them, I mean I think you got to get a booster in your quarterback club or somebody to connect with a candidate and say, look, we got a job open. Are you interested? Because we certainly are interested in you. And then you go from there. So, you know, I think what Mal Moore did with Nick Saban is a classic example of going to get the guy that we wanted. And that's what Coach Moore did. He targeted Nick Saban and went and got Nick Saban. And I think he won Miss Terry over before he won anybody else over. And when he won her over, I think that was half of the job. So Kirk Johnson will do a great job at Benjamin Russell. Excited for him there. Chilton County, my guys up in Clanton tell me they're really excited about Merritt Bowden coming in there. Excited to know he's coming to Chilton County. That should be a really good job. Excited for him. Coleman, you guys up in Coleman have hired Trent Walker. Elba, the Elba job is open. Mark Sieving has stepped aside. I think Mark is may be getting into administration. I'm not sure. He may have taken another job. I need to check on that. Faith Academy here in Mobile has hired a longtime assistant, Gain Sullivan. Congratulations to Gain. Flomaton, Doug Vickery finally stepped aside. Bless his heart, he's been coaching there, it seems like, his whole life. They hired Jace Gandy, and congratulations to Coach Gandy. G.W. Long, that's David Watt stepped, that's Skipperville, and boy, that you know, when I think about Skipperville, it's hard for me not to think about, well, two people, first of all. Of course, Kevin Raley, heck of a baseball coach. He has he's now at UMS Wright, but he did a great job at Robertsdale. But G.W. Long was his first coaching job. And when I think about him, I just think what a great, great high school baseball program they've had at G.W. Long for years. Gardendale, Eric Firestone is now the head coach at Gardendale. Up at Gordo, Gus Smith retired, or not retired, but stepped aside and is going. I think Gus is trying to get back to Baldwin County. Hired Chris Chambliss there. That's you know, Hanley of Roanoke. Larry Strain has retired, and Larry Strain, a tremendous high school football coach, stepped aside. Chris White's taking that job. Nikita Stover is now out of the private schools and in at Hayden. Congratulations to Nikita. Former Hearts player, and a guy I think that will just do a tremendous job up in North Alabama at Hayden. Just a couple more, because I think it's important that we kind of keep you abreast of these things. Jeremy Sullivan, who's a longtime high school coach, played at Jacksonville State, has now taken over at Jacksonville High School. Congratulations to Jeremy. Jeremy's one of those O-line guys that have a lot of respect for, and good luck to him there. Jason Massey's back at Leroy after serving some military duty time. And, boy, you're talking about a great guy and a good program. It's tough to go into Leroy and beat those Bears. They're really, really good. Murphy has hired Sherman Williams. Now, yep, that's right, Sherman Williams, Alabama, Dallas Cowboys, and, boy, are we excited to see that Sherman's trying to build a program there at Murphy. He's a Blount High School graduate, but Sherman is so well-known and so well-loved here in Mobile. And he and David Palmer work together, and they have their own company, and they do a lot of great things for a lot of young people. So we're excited for Sherman Williams. Now, I see where Mark Sieving is going to Northside Methodist Academy. So Mark didn't step aside for administration. He's left Elba and getting into the private school sector. Pelham, they hired Ross Newton. Now, who is Ross Newton? Ross Newton is one of Bob's boys, Just saw Bob at the AHSAA Hall of Fame, and he's so excited for Ross, and Ross has been able to bring in some coaches. And, you know, Mike Vickery's a guy that I just think the world of, and somebody needs to grab that guy, because I think he's one of the quality coaches, comes from a pedigree of coaches, and his daddy Glenn's an outstanding coach here in South Alabama. And, you know, I think the world of Mike Vickery. It just didn't work out. He just didn't win enough. That's the bottom line. And they brought in Ross Newton, and Ross, hope Ross wish him nothing but the best. And so he's hired a couple of really outstanding coaches, and we'll try to keep up with that as best we can. Darryl LeBeau has left Pleasant Grove, and he's gone to Hoover, and he's going to be the offensive coordinator at Hoover. And who's done a better job for the last 5 years than Darryl LeBeau? So we'll keep you posted on how they're doing. All you got to do is watch Hoover offensively. They will be exciting, I can tell you that. Darryl Fuqua has taken that job at Pleasant Grove. And finally, as we said, Bobby Carr is the new head coach at Prattville High School. And that's, you better watch out for them, because they're going to score some points, I can tell you that. And if he gets all those athletes to stay in Prattville, they'll be a force to be reckoned with in 7A football. You can count on that. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with Wes Latham. You're talking about a guy that, hey, has been an assistant coach, retires, comes to UMS Wright, is a teacher for a couple of years, elevated to principal, principal at the high school. Now he decides, I want to get back into athletics, the new athletic director at UMS Wright. We'll be right back with Wes Latham.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today podcast with Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back. Boy, that's quick going all around Alabama, Steve. I'm telling you, we go from Huntsville to Mobile to Tuscaloosa to Auburn. And now we're going to sit right here in our own backyard and talk to a guy that I think the world of. Loved his daddy, still love his daddy. Wes Latham. And I don't know whether to call Wes the principal / athletic director or call him athletic director. Wes, do you want to clear that up for me?
Well, you know, Rick, right now it's a little bit of both. I'm trying to close school out and get the seniors out and get all the awards, assemblies, and baccalaureate and graduation. But I'm also, you know, full speed ahead on this new gig with the AD part of it. So pretty busy right now, just like everything else on this campus.
I want to talk about, I think, your major, you and Doug Barber, Dr. Barber's, one of your best pieces of work. And that doesn't disregard all the other stuff you've done, because you've been tremendous, as has Dr. Barber. But you slide over into Mississippi, where both of you guys have connections and former players that have former coaches that they played for or know in Mississippi. I want you to talk just a little bit about the hiring of Sam Williams, because I think it's a slam dunk. I think it's just a great hire. And I want you to talk a little bit about that and how that went about.
Yeah, so we, you know, for the last few years, I guess really all the way back to the three-peat in 17, 18, and 19, you know, Doug and I have been kind of talking about, you know, we better have a short list. We better have a list. We better have a list, you know, because at any time, Terry could walk in, as we found out this year. You know, he could walk in any time and say he was done. And just making sure we had that list. But I tell you the one thing that we really learned in the whole thing was, you know, go for the best, we reached out to Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and basically just started using our connections and our relationships to say, give me the best three or four coaches in that state. And we were going to make them tell us no, you know, and there's a lot of conversations that, you know, that went multiple conversations, a lot of conversations that went one and out, you know, and
right.
We knew exactly when we talked to Sam that the rest of the phone calls could be over. we were going to make them tell us no before we made another phone call. And, you know, it kind of hit in a crazy time. It hit right there when we were on Mardi Gras break. And then the very next week, they were on spring break in Mississippi. So there was going to be a two-week window, you know, where he couldn't come down with his wife and kids, with Rachel and the kids, and see the school, because we weren't going to be in. So it was a lot of conversations over the phone. Doug and I even got in the car and drove to Jackson, Mississippi on a Friday and sat in his living room, you know, because if you let things go for too long, you're going to lose them. So it was important for us to get up there and talk to him and his family.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that you have to do in high school sports today, especially with programs, and we just said this on our podcast just a few minutes ago, I think if you're a school that's going to hopefully be in competition for a state championship, then I'm a firm believer that you got to go get who you want to get. And in today's world, that's what most people are doing. And, you know, I've had Sam on, spent 2 hours with him, and think just really like the guy a bunch, like his philosophy. But at the same time, when you go out and get somebody from a school like Brandon, Mississippi, that's been in 4 state championship games in the last few years, you're really digging deep. You're digging deep in that Mississippi mud over there to try to bring one to Alabama. And that takes some strong talk and some convincing to mama. And when you talk to Rachel, I'm sure that that had to be a real touchy conversation, because that's who you got to sell.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't think Doug and I are going to get any invites back to Brandon anytime soon by anybody in that town. That's okay. But, yeah, you know, when we went up there, we knew, we knew Sam was our guy, and we had to convince Rachel. You know, they're both from Brandon.
Right.
Both of their family is in Brandon. They both still live in Brandon.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard with a first grader, a third grader, and a fourth grader to convince a family to get up and leave when all their roots and all their family is still sitting right there, you know, 2 or 3 minutes away from the house and the school. Because, you know, when you have young kids, it's a village, man. You got to have everybody raising your kids, especially right. In the coaching world. So we knew it was going to be a hard sell.
Well, when did you really feel like that you had sold it?
You know, when we left his house that day, Sam and I walked out into the driveway, and him and I were just talking. And I had a really good feeling at that point in time that him and I had connected and we were on the same page. You know, and then throughout that next week while they were on spring break, we communicated back and forth through text and through phone calls, and some of the, you know, just the questions he started asking me, I knew we had him. We just had to get him here on campus and again, just seal the deal with Rachel to make sure, you know, that this was the campus for them. And then, once we got him down here, I tell you, you know, the girls and Luke came down with Rachel and they went to some classes at school that day.
Right.
And while we were sitting there meeting and kind of talking about some things, they walked around and whispered around to Rachel, hey, can we go back in the classrooms? You know, and when you have kids wanting to go back into the classroom when they're on spring break,
yeah.
You know, it's it was a good sign.
Well, I'm going to go somewhere that I may not should go, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know,
I wouldn't expect anything else, well, Rick.
See, I think there's one person. Well, I think there's several that he's got to convince to stay with us. I love UMS, right, Wes? I get emotional. I think Jay Cozio is the guy that's got to stay on that campus, and I'm hoping. I'm hoping personally that Jake Ozio is a guy that works with Sam, and that's to me is a key. And I heard, and maybe it was you that told me, that we have hired one of his guys to be on that staff. Am I right about that?
That's correct. And you're right. I think, especially on the defensive side, and to keep right. that cohesiveness of the staff, Jay is the guy that anybody in the state would love to have.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, he is an amazing game planner, in-game adjustment. You know, I had opportunity. I've coached against him many times, and I've coached with him. He's a very valuable part of this, and I do hope we're able to keep him. You know, like I've told everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be his decision. You know, I hope he will get on board with Sam, and you know, and help take this thing back to what we're used to around here. You know, and deep runs in the playoffs and a lot of success. We ended up going after a guy named Adam Wallace.
Yep.
And he was a good coach of DBs for us. He's been head coach at Moody. He's been the coordinator at Beauregard. He was actually the 5A assistant coach of the year last year.
Right.
And him and Jay have worked together. And so kind of, you know, one of the things that I really thought was a good move from Sam is when he first got here, the first person he talked to before he talked to anybody was Jay.
Good.
Cause he knew, you know, he was going to be the key part of all this. And, you know, if there's anybody out there you want me to talk to, I will talk to them first.
Right.
He gave him Adam's name and Adam came down here and man, he's first time I'd met him. He's a really, really good guy and a good coach.
That's good stuff.
Matter of fact, the next week after we hired him, the next week was his spring break, and he actually spent a couple of days down here just getting to know the kids and doing morning workouts. You know, so just kind of shows you what kind of guy he is and the dedication he's got also.
Well, I just thought all along, I thought that, you know, if there's any way to keep Jay Cozio, that was something, and I'm glad that you felt the same way. And, you know, I hadn't talked to Jay, not going to. That's a family thing, but I sure hope he stays, and that's he's a good one for sure. Let's go in another direction. I think the question is why. Why? I've been asked this now. Even my dearest friend down at Orange Beach asked me this. He said he asked you this, and I don't know if he did or not. Sometimes he pulls my leg. You have been a ultra-successful principal, and you know a lot of us, we work hard to get that degree in administration, which you did. But you've decided to wear the other hat. You're going to be the athletic director. Talk just a little bit about that.
You know, when you go from coaching and then into administration, you're still around these kids every day of your life. And you know, for a while, I've kind of worn both hats. Helping Terry a lot, you know, through these last few years.
Yeah.
And he's been a great mentor helping me get ready for this point in time. But, you know, Rick, I've been on a football field since I was for 46, 47 years out of my 51 years on this earth.
Yeah.
You know, and played it. I was there with my dad, played it. Coached it, I mean everything, and multiple sports also. So the AD part of it and just being around the athletics, it's just something that's always appealed to me. I think I approach everything as I did as a coach, whether it was being the principal. I approached as a coach, and I like every one of them were my kids, and I'm gonna approach the same way with AD. And you know, when it needs to be tough love, we're going to do tough love. And if we need a pat on the back or a chest bump, we're going to do a chest bump. So really, really looking forward to this new chapter.
Well, I want people to know from one end of this state to the other that listen to this show, And thank you guys for listening, and ladies. You have gone above and beyond as a principal. And I watched you come into UMS as a history teacher, and I watched you succeed there and then take over the principal's job. And the way you work with students and the affection and the respect that students have for you, I don't think that's going to go away. Just because you're not the principal, you're still going to be Coach Latham. And I'm excited for you. And that was a job that I loved probably more than coaching. That was probably what I love that aspect of being a head coach more than anything. But today's world, head football coaches have got too much on their plate to be an athletic director. And we need somebody like yourself to be athletic director. And I'm excited for you, Wes. I think it's a positive move, and I'm excited for you. And I'm sure Ashley's probably a little – she's probably happy too. I would think that she's as happy as she can be.
She, we're both very happy. We you know, the only thing that that's kind of gotten Ashley is, you know, Brady and Madison are going to be seniors next year. And
right.
She really wanted me to finish it with being the principal for them on their senior year, because I've, you know, the whole way through I've been the principal. So, but you know, things happen at times that you can't control, and you've got to do it when you do it. And but the other side of that, I'll get a chance to spend a lot more time with them, you know, and not have to do all the other stuff that's involved with running the school. So
that's exactly.
I'll get to kind of see it their senior year and enjoy their senior year with them.
God's timing is perfect, Wes. There's no doubt about that. God's timing is perfect, and I believe that in this situation. So wish nothing but the best for you there. Let's go another direction. One of the guys that you probably enjoyed coaching as much as anybody, or being on the field coaching as much as anybody, was Julio Jones. And you guys had a tremendous program there with Todd Watson over there, and Julio just retired from pro football. I want you to give us your ideas and thoughts and feelings about that young man.
This is what I've told everybody that's ever even mentioned Julio. You know, I think everyone should have the opportunity to watch Julio, not in a game, but in a practice. I think everybody should have that opportunity from every age level, see a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, first ballot, see him practice. You know, he never took a snap off. He never took a day off, whether it was football, whether it was, you know, high jump, long jump, triple jump, whatever it was. And most times he did a lot of those in the same day. But he never took a day off, and he attacked every single rep. You know, I went to a luncheon the other day, and Scott Cochran was the speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was talking about all the things and all the distractions and all the things that people do, especially when they start making a lot of money. And he brought up a story about Julio, and was just talking about from the time he stepped foot on that campus at Alabama his freshman year until he was gone. You know, he did everything exactly right. He never put he put the right stuff in his body. He did the right work. I mean, he did everything exactly right. And there's no doubt, there's no way anybody can say that, you know, everything he's done and earned, he didn't truly deserve. You know, he just does everything right. You know, and that is such a rare thing, because everybody has bad days, everybody has long days, everybody gets tired. But in my 4 years with Julio at Foley, I never saw him. You would have never known. I never saw him take a playoff or take a practice rep or anything off. Wow. And I think anybody can show up when the lights turn on.
Yeah.
But it's what you do Monday through Thursday that truly defines Julio.
Well, and you guys, when y'all were at Foley, And you had a defensive back on that team, too, that was – and I cannot think of his name, Wes, to save my life – that was also –
Robert Lester.
Robert Lester. That's exactly who it was. And I can imagine they both made each other better every day in practice.
You know, so Julio and Robert went against each other every day. But also right behind that group was DJ Fluker and a kid named Justin Anderson.
Yeah.
Justin ended up going and playing at Louisiana and then played for the Giants and the Vikings and the Saints for a little while.
Right.
But on both of those, and what I've told kids I've coached for, you know, Robert Julio faced off every one-on-one rep, whether it was punt team, whether it was Skelly, no matter what it was, those two called each other out and went against each other every single time, every rep.
Right.
Same thing with DJ and Justin. Justin was a defensive end, and you know, and DJ was the left tackle, and they had some battles. I mean, they had some battles. And I'm telling you, Robert Julio and DJ would have they were going to make it.
Right.
The reason Justin made it is because the reps he took for all those years against DJ and learning how to compete at the highest level is what made him where he – it forced him to be that good and move to that next level.
Wow. Boy, that is that's four great football players. And you told me about Justin Anderson at some point in time, and I don't know when it was, but I remember watching them when he was at Louisiana. It was Louisiana Lafayette at the time, I think. But he was – I'm not so sure he wasn't the best football player on the field the night I watched him. I mean, he made tackles.
No doubt.
He made tackles from sideline to sideline. And
yeah, and I still let old Coach Todd Watson know that you know, when he went to Louisiana, he became the Mike linebacker.
Right.
I begged for him. For 3 years, I begged for him. And he would never let me have him. He kept him right there at defensive end. So, you know.
I bet you did, too. I bet that was shut the door. That was a Steve Savarese, Rick Cleveland thing. Shut the door. I want to talk right now.
Exactly.
I bet that
exactly.
was. All right, bring us up to date on your dad. I'm looking forward to May 17th and coming to see all of y'all.
Definitely. He's doing great. We've got a couple of opportunities here lately. You know, you know how our schedules are with high school. We've had a couple opportunities. We got the opportunity to get in the car and ride to Montgomery and watch Meredy Jones get inducted into the Hall of Fame and spend a few hours together there all by ourselves. And, just last week we were able to hang out a little bit and just him and I. So,
good.
It's always good. He's doing really, really well. Still always has a little advice for me, you know, and I soak it up every time I get a chance to.
Yeah. I need to send him a text. I don't know if he knows about Coach Washburn. Coach Washburn had some medical problems this weekend, had three stents put in, and he's doing very well now. So I need to send that to your dad.
I'll let him know too.
Okay.
That is news. That is news to me.
Yeah, that's my apology. I'd promised your dad I would let him know about stuff like that. And
he's coming on the 17th also.
I'm looking forward to that. We've canceled everything on the 17th, so we're looking forward to that. Let's talk just a little bit. We got probably about 8 or 9 more minutes. Let's talk a little bit about the athletic director's job and some of the things that have been going on at UMS really in the last 12 to 15 months. You got a great, it looks like a great new dressing room, and I hadn't been able to walk in it yet, but I want to see that.
Yeah. So right now, you know, we're right in the middle of a capital campaign and a lot of it focused around upgrades for athletics in that capital campaign. And one of the first phases of that was a varsity locker room that, as you know, was well needed, overdue, needed. When I first got here, I'd never seen anything like it. So it was much needed to get an updated locker room for that. We got that about week 7 of last year in the middle of the season. And it's been first class, and it's been great. But, you know, a lot of this comes from this past year, really, you know, anytime you're in an organization or in a school like this, that you can't ever get comfortable. You know, I always say to my dad, he used to always, because when I was little, I was trying to walk with my dad, and he was always walking so fast. And I was like, why are you walking so fast? Like, I can't keep up. He said, if you don't walk fast, somebody's going to catch you and pass you up. So you always got to be walking fast. You know, so it's kind of the same thing with, you know, you don't want to get passed up. So you're constantly trying to improve. You know, you can walk through Stimson Foyer. A lot of people walk through Stimson Foyer and count the blue maps around and think that, you know, it's easy. And it's never going to be. If you get to that mindset, you're going to be losing them quickly. So we did an athletic assessment just to kind of gauge where we were, where we needed to go, you know, with the changing landscape of high school and Lord, how it's going to change in the future too. So we ended up calling a guy named Dr. Tim Green.
Yep.
That works for Southern Teachers, and man, he has become a very valuable colleague for me. And went through this complete assessment from top to bottom, all the way from third grade football to every varsity sport on campus. And went through that, talked to parents, talked to alum, talked to players, talked to coaches, you know, talked to many, many different focus groups to try to just see where we were. You know, we knew some things needed to be updated some, and some of the things that we thought we were doing well, we realized that there's still room for improvement there. And from that assessment and those results, that's kind of what my main mission is starting off, you know, my first, you know, I guess I'd say in the old days, the first 100 days of office.
Right.
You know, what I would do, and kind of already starting that, you know, and a lot of that has to do with the growth mindset for our coaches, you know, and trying to get them every opportunity to be successful, to find the newest ways. And, you know, I think there were some things that we were probably a little outdated on technology wise and equipment wise that you know, we all love Terry, but he was the first to tell you, he won a bunch of state championships using this stuff and didn't need anything else.
That's true.
But, you know, as people around you start moving, you got to start improving too. So a lot of those things we're going to start to, you know, to kind of look at and continue to just find ways to help our student athletes be the best, reach their highest potential. But at the same time, as always, you know, always instilling that character, building leaders for the community and the state, and you know, just as we always say, playing that game of honor. So, yes, it's one of those things. We're not going to have a bunch of kids sign, you know, and get NIL deals at the SEC level or anything like that. But our kids are always going to compete, and they're always going to be successful because of what's instilled with them at home and in school every single day. It's forced and it's intentional. So as long as we can continue to do that and stress those things, we're always going to be at the top of a lot of things.
Well, Wes, I don't think there is, and I mean this from my heart, I think with Dr. Barber and with you, and I just think athletically we're going to continue to flourish and just get better and better. If we can get rid of the dead gum multiplier and just go to go, you know, that multiplier is killing us, and it's not fair to have, you know, a double whammy.
And you know what? The multiplier does not bother me one bit. The multiplier has kind of played its way out. Yeah. You know, it's the competitive balance, and I don't have a problem with the competitive balance. I just think that every school should be treated the same. You know, if you've got a school that's won five or six in a row, then they need to move up. I don't care what kind of school they are. You know,
you're right.
You know, I give this example all the time. Our competitor up the street got beat in the tennis championships, 2 years ago, and they moved up to 7A, and the team that beat them and has won multiple are still sitting in 6A. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
You're right. You're right. But right. It's got to be the ones that are living large now are the public school, the city school systems. And the poor county systems don't have a chance. And, of course, you and I can spend a couple of hours talking about that. And I'm sure we will as we move forward. But, Wes, I want to get you out of here. I want to know how you got the first pick tonight. I really do. What I heard was you called a meeting, got them all in there, and said, I will have the first pick. I said, I don't believe that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of power in principal. There's a lot of power in AD. I should have started off. That was my first move as AD, is making sure that I had the first pick. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm picking Rory. I know he hasn't won it yet.
Damn it. You cannot. He's gonna,
yeah. I know he hasn't won it yet, but he's going to, I think this is his year.
Well, I got to reassess then, because that was going. I'm getting to pick fourth, and I was going to pick him. I figured y'all would go with Scheffler and all those guys, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for you. Good for you. I'll send you $25 or however how much it is by Venmo.
Sounds good.
Wes, I'm excited. Those of us who had the honor of spending the time, the years that we've spent there, are blessed beyond our own imagination. Until you've been where you and I've been and get the opportunity to walk those halls and to spend it with those children, there's nothing greater than being a part of the UMS Rite. And I'm thankful that you are where you are, and I'm thankful that little bald-headed guy is doing what he's doing. And I know that if there's anybody that can have discussion with him, it's you, and can be rational. And so I'm pulling for you, and I love that guy like I love you. And thank you for taking time out tonight to talk with us, and I'm sure we're going to have many more of these conversations on this podcast, because I want you to be an integral part of it. So
I would love it. You know, and Rick, it goes back to those relationships you build through every stop you make, and I mean, I just remember all the one-on-one talks that we had, whether it was a carpool or just sitting in my office or sitting in the hall or sitting in the dining hall or whatever it was, those meant a lot to me, and just want you to know I was listening. So,
well, you know,
I appreciate it.
Well, and I'm thankful that I had that opportunity to be there in those conversations. I mean that. It's been a great honor and a joy to be a part of UMS Right, and I will forever be the biggest supporter that I can be, possibly, to you and to Doug and anybody else there, because I love that school with all my heart. And I appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it.
Take care. And I got my pick now, since you've already got yours. Doggone it. That's Wes Latham, folks. That's Wes Latham, the athletic director, and really principal athletic director right now, but will be full-time athletic director in the new school year. Mighty excited for him. And, boy, God bless. Say hello to Ashley and the kids. Two of my favorite kids ever, I can tell you that. So just please give them a hug, and we'll talk down the road. Take care.
Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today podcast with Coach Rick Cleveland. Getting you up with the latest in prep sports from around the state. Here's Coach.
Welcome back to the Thompson High School Prep Sports Report. I know. Let's do that over. Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today. So, you know, that's a great thing about these things. We can mess up and then we can fix it. Ronnie Cottrell's headed home today, or tonight. Ronnie Cottrell was approved as the next head football coach of the T.R. Miller Tigers. And Coach Cottrell's a 1977, I think now, I'm doing this off of memory.
That's right.
He's four years younger than this old man. 1977 graduate, and he's going home. And I'm excited. He's taking Brent Hubbard's place. Brent, of course, announced his retirement in February. Congratulations, Coach. And I know it's been a happy day for you, and kind of a sad day, too, to tell some players that you were going somewhere else. But that's what happens in our business, especially when Mama calls.
Well, but, you know, Rick, it's never a good time to leave anywhere, especially when you're at a good place. And I learned a lot at Lighthouse Christian College. Dr. Joanna Johannes had put together such a good program there. But it's like you said, I've always had the desire to go back to T.R. Miller. I was born there in Bruton at D.W. McMillan Hospital. I went to school there, first grade through 12th grade. I played all kind of athletics, events, and sports. Just had a really good experience, and I was a student coach while in college for Frank Cotton. Frank is a legendary coach from Bruton, and I learned so much from him in that 1 year. But, I mean, I give him a lot of credit about me being a coach today. Rick, he was so passionate about the game and such a godly man. But I don't know, I've had many times that in my career where it looked like I might come back to Miller, but it just never worked out. The timing wasn't right. And I was so proud of the job that Coach Hubbard had done this year. We had a phenomenal team here and did not see this coming, him retiring. But I just thank God that I've been given the opportunity to come back home, like you said, to a school with great tradition, and just so proud to be a part of it.
Well, and I think one of the things, Ronnie, that you bring a pedigree of coaching that's been successful everywhere you've been. And, you know, you've been on Division One level and at Florida State with Coach Bowden, and you took a leap of faith and came to Alabama with Mike Dubose, a wonderful, wonderful man that it just didn't work there. It just didn't work for Mike. And but it didn't stop you from trying to recruit and recruit the best athletes that you could get in there. And then every place you've been in high school – it's just been phenomenal. Of course, you really did a great job here at Mobile Christian, and won state championships here. I think you won a state championship at Godby in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
I did in 2012.
Yeah,
yes,
sir. You've just you've won those state championship maps in a lot of places, and I think that T.R. Miller is just another. I've always said I think T.R. Miller is one of the top 10 jobs in the state of Alabama. And kind of go through the process, how all this went down as far as conversations, or when did this first come about as being maybe a situation that you really were interested in?
Well, it's been about a month ago, and mostly friends called, you know, guys I've played with and coaches that were no longer there called, and you know how you talk about jobs. And quite frankly, Rick, this is an established program. I mean, they made it to the third round this year, lost to a very good team, Eddie Brundage team at yep. Houston Academy.
Another T.R. Miller guy.
And, but most of the places that I've been fortunate to work at had some work to be done, but this is absolutely the best job that I've had in high school as far as the condition of the program. And, so I finally made contact with Kevin Wiesman. Dr.
Wiesman.
He's our new superintendent. And one of my friends asked me to call him, and I agreed to call. And just really liked him, thought he does a phenomenal job. He's been a great hire for T.R. Miller. And as I listened to his philosophy and the things that, you know, that he wants here, you know, it just brought back a lot of memories. this is a program with great history. You know, I think back on, you know, Coach Cotton was such a marvelous coach and he was such an influence, but Mike Sasser, Jamie Riggs, they're the top of the top. I mentioned Eddie Brundage a few minutes ago. Eddie was an assistant here and a phenomenal coach. Alan Baker, just a tremendous coach. And there's so many guys that were, I call role models and almost legendary guys. I mean, I just kind of fell in love with the whole idea. There was probably 2 weeks of some discussion and some study, and then I agreed to interview, and this past week, Friday, I saw that I was going to have a chance for it, and they named me tonight, tonight at 5 o'clock at the board meeting. And I don't know, I'm just really happy. I've desired this job for a long time, and I know in Psalms 37:4 it said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I just think this is an answered prayer for me.
Amen. Ronnie, you've always been a person that was deep-rooted in your faith. And, you know, I want you to share a little bit of that with us, because I think that's one of the things that us older guys really need to, you know, we really need to share that with our younger coaches and even our contemporary coaches that are just a few years younger. But I just think that's so important in today's world, because kids want to be disciplined. They want discipline. And I think the discipline that you and those coaches that were mentored by the Frank Cottons of the world, I think that's something that is hugely important, is that discipline that runs through the faith, the faith part of who we are. And I want you to talk a little bit about that, because I know how important that is to you.
And you know what? I saw at an early age what a difference and what an influence we can have as coaches.
Yeah.
I know, you know, there's pastors that wish they had the opportunity to influence that we have as coaches on a daily basis.
Right.
And, you know, when I think about, you know, so many times today we have problems in life as an adult. We have, as a man, we have problems that we have to deal with. And, you know, we have to learn that that problem's not going to go away. And, you know, I was sharing recently with my team at Lighthouse Christian College, and, you know, when the disciples were talking to Jesus before he died, he told them he was going to leave.
Right.
He told him he's going to leave, but he was going to be back.
Right.
And the disciples really didn't know what he was talking about.
They thought he lost his mind.
But he was going to be crucified.
Yep.
And he did come back.
Yep.
And personally, you know, we have an opportunity on a daily basis to teach young men in the greatest game in the world in football, to teach them how to handle tough situations. And, you know, me personally, I told my team this week, I talked to them about the story of the disciples. And, you know, when I think I got a lot of problems or having a hard time, I always think about the crucifixion and what Jesus did that day for us.
Right.
And I don't know. I believe the greatest relationship a man can have is one with Jesus. And that's my wish. You know, I always say that, you know, I want one day for somebody to walk up to me and tell me about one of my players. You know what? He is a great football player, but he's an even better man.
Amen.
And we have that opportunity. I know you've done the same thing at UMS and the places you've been, because I can't even tell you how many times through my career young men have come and said, man, coach, you pushed us so hard, but I thank God that you did this for us. And you've hoisted a few trophies yourself. It's nothing like seeing a bunch of men come together and do something great together. I think it's been 20-something years since we won a championship at Miller, but we are the winningest program in the state of Alabama right now.
That's right.
And it's quite a challenge for us to maintain that tradition. So, I don't know, I thank God that I'm here, and I know God's going to send me the right men to coach. And Right now we're going through the process of talking to the coaches there. One of the things that really bothered me when I was growing up, Rick, is that, you know, I would be on a staff and either the coach would leave or he would let go. And so often you didn't get talked to by the new coach.
Right.
And I always said if I ever got a chance to take a job, I was going to always talk to the guys that are here. So I'm going through that process trying to keep as many of these guys as we can. And I don't know. I'm just really excited about things getting started.
Well, I commend you for that, Ronnie, because those guys, they took the opportunity to coach at T.R. Miller, and they obviously have an affinity for that school. And when you give them that opportunity to share that with you, and then, you know, there's decisions that's got to be made on personnel, and, of course, you have to work with your superintendent. And I know y'all are – I think your principal's retired, but you got to work through that too. But I appreciate and respect that you're giving those guys the opportunity to share with you and to talk to you about the job and their dreams for T.R. Miller. I think that's well, that's who you are, Ronnie. I can't sugarcoat that. That's who you are, and I admire that in you. I really do admire.
Well, you and I go back a long ways, Rick, and we've been involved with a lot of great teams and a lot of good teams. But I was watching their baseball program today. They had senior night tonight. It's just a great community, and you know when you say T.R. Miller, you realize you think of Bruton.
Yep.
And when you say Bruton, Alabama, you think of T.R. Miller. It's just a wonderful school system. And we're very fortunate to have hired Kevin. I know you know Coach Winchman from his previous time as a coach in North Alabama. I think he's going to make a huge difference here. One other person that I had to bring into the fold a little bit before I got involved, I had to get Jamie Riggs and Alan Baker, two old friends. And those guys were brilliant in what they did. And hopefully, you know, they are going to continue to share wisdom with us. Alan's now a congressman.
Yep.
And Jamie's still in town. But we're going to try to take where we are, the progress that, you know, Coach Hubbard has made and continue to bring back, you know, hopefully a state championship one day at Lighthouse. I said T.R. Miller High School. I'm going to get it right in a minute.
You know what? I don't have any doubt that T.R. Miller will be in the hunt for a state championship. And, you know, Ronnie, I think another thing, and you and I talked about this at one other time, I think the draw of a community school is so much greater than inner city schools. And I I've been in inner city. David Cutcliffe and I were at Banks in Birmingham. You were at Godby in Tallahassee, right in that area.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, there's something about being in a community school as opposed to being in a citywide or inner city school. It's something about that hometown feeling. I coached in Robertsdale for about 3 years. And I absolutely loved it. I would have never left that place if the superintendent hadn't asked me to take another job. And biggest mistake I ever made, by the way. But that is something special about being in a community school like T.R. Miller.
Yeah, and you know what? When you come to a game here, we have tremendous participation. And when I spoke to this committee here, you know, I talked about the journey of building a program, and you know, you start with your football team, but there's so many more people that you want to get involved.
Right.
And if we're trying to go from point A to point B, and you know, cheerleaders and band, you know, we have a phenomenal band program here at T.R. Miller, and cheerleaders are phenomenal. But getting students and fans, you know, when you have a place where there's such strong support, I mean, even at Mobile Christian, we never had the community, but we had great support.
Yeah, you did.
Know?
You sure did.
And I just think it's very special in some of these smaller communities that, you know, they do come out and they do get involved. I think a lot of this started years ago, but, I mean, it's something I look forward to here.
We got a couple more minutes. We're talking to Ronnie Cottrell, newly appointed, newly hired, whatever you want to call it. Head football coach at T.R. Miller in Brewton, Alabama. If you hadn't heard about the Battle of Murder Creek, yep, that's one of those. That's one of those rivalries that everybody ought to have the opportunity to play in and now to coach in. And I go back and think about, good gracious alive, that big rascal that played fullback for W.S. Neal, that played an all-star game with us.
Calvin Culliver.
My gosh, I thought he was a Tilda the Hun. He was such a beautiful athlete. And when I saw him run, he could fly. And that's a W.S. Neal.
He went on to play at Alabama, like you said, and was a great player for Coach Bryant.
God, he was such a beautiful player. When we would just...
But we're certainly not the only great rivalries, but it is something special.
It is.
You know, it's one of those things that all of our former students check that score and try to listen to it or stream it. But I think that's what makes high school sports so special. And Rick, you have just done so much things to support and to promote the game of football and all athletics. But I don't know. There are great places out there, and I think I've gotten the opportunity, the blessing to be a part of one of the very best. So I just really appreciate your time tonight.
Well, we're excited for you. And Ronnie, you're just a few blocks away, it seems like now. So I know that in retirement, Tracy and I'll be headed up there to watch you play, see your team play, and I'll sure plant something in your ear if I see something that...
Well, we may have to put you in the game. We may have to get a few plays out of you, Rick.
You better call Clay. That's who you better call.
Well, God bless you, brother, and you have a good day.
Take care, Ronnie. Mighty excited for
yes,
you.
Sir.
Take care. It's
yes,
Ronnie Cottrell, head football coach at T.R. Miller. And we're going to cut it short today. We have got the Masters Draft tonight. Brent Daugherty and the crew are doing our Masters Draft, and so my boss, Steve Stanley, has given me permission to step away after about 90 minutes. I want to thank you for being a part of Thompson Tractor High School Sports today, and we'll be back maybe a week, maybe two. But this is something that we really have a passion for. But I can tell you, during football season, we're going to be here just about every Tuesday night. But as we go through the spring, we'll hit and miss, and hope you'll stay with us. We'll keep you posted. We appreciate you taking time to listen to us. We thank you that we had the opportunity to have Wes Lathan, the athletic director, and he's also the principal right now. He's going to move over into the athletic director seat next year. And Sam Williams, new head football coach at UMS Wright. And, buddy, they got a great man that they work for, and I mean a great man in Dr. Doug Barber. That school is in great shape, I can tell you that, because of the leadership team. And the leadership of Dr. Doug Barber will carry that school a long way with Wes Latham and Sam Williams with their football coach. Won't miss a beat. Won't miss a beat. And to have what I think is probably one of the greatest high school coaches to ever coach the game, and Terry Curtis retiring, and they've replaced him with a young 33-year-old coach that I think is going to do a great job as a head football coach at UMS Wright. We appreciate Wes and Ronnie Cottrell tonight. And we'll be back sometime sooner, but remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same place, same time in the future Tuesday nights.